fiat is the time thief. I mean, this is the biggest immoral part of all of this monetary system that we're trying to solve for. It's taking time away from you. People are working towards some perceived retirement that they may never get to because the holes in the bucket are so big. So, you know, Bitcoin goes a long way towards solving that. You have to work hard, though. You have to actually stack and keep stacking. You have to learn and keep learning. And when it comes to a lot of these questions about what do you do for work and what is your career, you know, these are just modes of perhaps capturing more time in your future, maybe bringing forward that time of your life when you're able to actually stretch out and relax more and have a little more fun and spend more time and be there. I see it every day with my family. It's some days it's just there's fleeting moments and you have to actually stop what you're doing. You have to actually make that space to really be in that moment, to really gain from it. And you never get it back. The next day is a different one. So it's, I think all of these things, this is again why I think Bitcoin is so meaningful, just to put these kinds of thoughts in your head, to get you thinking in a new way, to get you open-minded enough to see different ways forward. And to actually take courageous, risky steps to really further advantage you and your family so that your time is more your own.
Greetings and salutations, my fellow plebs. My name is Walker, and this is the Bitcoin Podcast. Bitcoin continues to make new blocks every 10 minutes, and the value of one Bitcoin is still one Bitcoin. If you are listening to this right now, remember, you're still early. This episode is brought to you by Blockware. What if you could lower your tax bill and stack Bitcoin at the same time? Well, with Blockware, you can. New U.S. tax rules let miners write off 100% of their mining hardware in a single year. So earn Bitcoin daily while saving big come tax season. Get started at mining.blockwaresolutions.com/titcoin. Use the code TITCOIN to get $100 off your first miner when using the Blockware marketplace. This is not tax advice, so go speak to the team at Blockware to learn more. That's mining.blockwaresolutions.com/titcoin. Head to the show notes for links to find the show on centralized social media platforms and on Noster, or just go directly to bitcoinpodcast.net. You'll find it all there. And kind reminder that you can support this show by becoming a paid subscriber on Fountain. Or don't, Bitcoin doesn't care, but I sure do appreciate it. Without further ado, let's get into this Bitcoin talk. Well, dude, glad to have you on here. I feel like we've been talking about having you on the show for a while. I'm glad that we finally made it happen. It's probably my fault for being shitty at responding to DMs sometimes, so I apologize for that.
No, I'm a big believer that everything happens at the time that it probably should, and this is the time. Here we are.
This is the time. You know, and yeah, I guess it is a good time for this because you just launched the mobile app version, right?
Yeah, it's a heavy duty milestone for me. I've been working on this for the last about a year and a quarter. Although I'll tell you, there's times when it feels like it's been decades. It's been such a heavy-duty project. And I've also, I built it basically myself. I'm not part of a team doing this. It's really all me. So it's been a really intense journey as well. And so getting to this point and actually getting it launched has been an overwhelming experience. It's actually, you know, I'm just still like in the immediate aftermath of that launch and still like wrapping my head around it and feeling, you know, that sort of pivot from the building mode into this next chapter. And so it's really a phenomenal time. It's a period of my life I'm not gonna ever forget.
I may as well go ahead and put the time chain calendar up here. So for those nice. That don't know, you are, and maybe you want to just introduce yourself for those that do not know you. Obviously, you know, I don't even technically know you in that way.
You know, we did meet once. I think even possibly twice. I've attended quite a few conferences in the last few years. Time in particular, I think it was a BitBlock boom. It might have been in Austin. And you and the wife were sitting in the the breakfast place downstairs. And I came up and said hi to you guys then. But
well, in that case, I'm not going to lie. I was pretty drunk for a lot of it. but no, it's well, okay. So as much while respecting your own OPSEC, like, do you want to give a little bit of an intro just to who you are and maybe, you know, why you are building Time Chain Calendar?
Yeah. So people know me as TC. It's kind of funny, when I was sort of finding my NIM in the Bitcoin Twitter space, it was, you know, the word time chain really was something that stuck in my head. It was a period of time when I was really establishing my core learning and understanding about Bitcoin. And so I kind of really was attracted to that word particularly. And so that's where TC actually started from. And then it's just kind of a beautiful little synergy that my project ended up being called Time Chain Calendar, and TC ends up being an acronym for that as well. But basically, going back to my pre-Bitcoin existence, I've been a software engineer for, you know, almost two decades. Was started building on the web when the web was still very crude, and I was doing websites the old-fashioned way, and and basically evolved from, you know, just plain HTML files to, you know, CMS-driven websites using PHP, and then eventually more JavaScript-centric web application kind of stuff. I found my way from, you know, a sort of like design house where I was doing client websites for years, to suddenly working for tech startups and being, you know, a team member on some of these relatively small tech companies, but that were, you know, innovating and building really quickly. One of these companies that I was working for around 2015 or so was accepting Bitcoin as payment for their products. But for whatever reason, it went in one ear and out the other. That was actually my second kind of in one ear and out the other experience with Bitcoin. The first was in 2012, just a few years earlier, and Bitcoin was $5. And then in 2015, it was $500. And it's still just, I don't know, the brain cells didn't connect yet. But shortly after that company, I found myself at another company where they actually had done an ICO. And they actually had sort of a crypto side of their sort of company mission. And I was surrounded by all these crypto bros and basically discovered Bitcoin through that. And so I was like a lot of other people of that era. I got sucked in towards the end of 2017, right at the top, just enough time to, you know, load my bags and get ready for my first bear market. And so my way of dealing with my first bear market, being that I actually didn't really understand Bitcoin properly at the time, when I look back on it, I kind of shut it out of my mind. And that was my weird way of achieving a HODL back then. I didn't panic. I didn't sell. I just kind of shifted my focus away. So I feel like I missed all this opportunity 2018, 2019, when I should have been stacking like crazy. Instead, I kind of pushed it out of my head, just finding my own way to deal with that experience of going through a bear market like that and not really understanding what I was holding and still holding a bunch of shit coins. And it wasn't until, you know, late 2019, the whole repo crisis in the, you know, traditional markets caught my attention. And then along comes COVID and this whole confluence of chaos in the world just shocked me, got my attention. And I feel like I properly went down the rabbit hole at that time. I was reading some stuff from Dergigi and watching a lot of podcasts and really got fully sucked into it at that point. I was still working for tech companies at the time. And it was a couple years later, you know, 21, 22, where I actually started working for a Bitcoin company. And that job actually didn't last as long as I wanted it to. And when that job ended, that was when I created Time Chain Calendar. And so this is basically a culmination of a career building websites and learning the tech of building the web. And I had this drawing that I had done on paper of the block height and the circles. And when I was suddenly unemployed and so fixated on Bitcoin, I took the opportunity to build the first version of this time chain calendar. And it was, I think, about a 10-day like hack session. And I had the very first version. And anybody who remembers the site from back then, it was very simple. It was just the red circle and the orange circle and the big number in the middle and a few other little bits of data. But there wasn't kind of a complete dashboard the way it is now. But that was the beginning. And that was just under 3 years ago. I think this November makes 3 years since I launched the site. So basically, since I made the website, I've been updating the website and continuing to develop it, continuing to be obsessed with Bitcoin, talking to other Bitcoiners every day, and just, you know, at this point now, a couple of years later from, you know, when I was just in between jobs, and the world has continued to change, my career as I knew it before, I think, is over. I don't know that the software industry is a place I want to be, you know, kind of hitching my ride to other companies and being a worker bee. I kind of basically experienced the whole industry transforming, I think, between the impacts of sort of the COVID era, when everyone learned that you don't need to go into an office to do this kind of work. You could be anywhere on the planet. And I happen to live in one of the most expensive cost of living places in the world. And so it's a big mismatch on that front as far as trying to land a new job. And then the whole AI wave came along, and the combination of these two factors have just turned the whole industry upside down for people like me. And so I basically kind of was forced to really figure out what my path forward is. And I love my baby, my time chain calendar here. It's so I decided I needed to turn it into a full business and a platform that I could just continue to develop and actually carry forth. And this mobile app represents my first big evolutionary step from just the website. And that's really what you're looking at when you look at the mobile app. It's kind of the last year and a quarter or so of me growing as an engineer. I'm pretty much totally full stack now, whereas before I was just focused on front end web. And I've built and put out iOS and an Android app, which I had never done before. And, you know, so it's just a lot of kind of growth as a software engineer, also kind of evolving from being a employee to thinking about running a business and how to actually operate going forward. So it's just a lot of changes. That's where I'm at sitting here today.
What if you could lower your tax bill and stack Bitcoin at the same time? Well, by mining Bitcoin with Blockware, you can. New tax guidelines from the Big Beautiful Bill allow American miners to write off 100% of the cost of their mining hardware in a single tax year. That is right, a 100% write-off. So if you have $100,000 in capital gains or income, you can purchase $100,000 worth of miners and offset it entirely. Blockware's mining as a service enables you to start mining right now without lifting a finger. Blockware handles everything from securing the miners to sourcing low-cost power to configuring the mining pool. They do it all. You get to stack Bitcoin at a discount every single day, while also saving big come tax season. Get started today by going to mining.blockwaresolutions.com/titcoin. Again, that's mining.blockwaresolutions.com/titcoin. Use the code titcoin to get $100 off your first miner when using the Blockware marketplace. Of course, none of this is tax advice from me. Go speak with the team at Blockware to learn more. One more time, that is mining.blockwaresolutions.com/titcoin. Once you understand the problem with fiat money and fiat medicine, it becomes clear that you need Bitcoin. And you also need to keep that Bitcoin safe by going to bitbox.swiss/walker and using the promo code WALKER for 5% off the easy-to-use, fully open-source, Bitcoin-only Bitbox O2 hardware wallet. Then get your Bitcoin off the exchange and into your own self-custody so that you actually control it. Bitcoin is ripping and will continue to rip more than you can imagine, and your stack will soon be worth a heck of a lot more in fiat value than it is today. So now is the perfect time to plan for the future and make sure you have your security locked down tight with Bitbox. Plus, and I really cannot emphasize this enough, the Bitbox O2 is easy as hell to use. Whether you're brand new to Bitcoin, it's your first time setting up a hardware wallet, and you are understandably a little bit nervous, or you are a well-seasoned psychopath. It's Bitcoin only, and again, fully open source. You can head to their GitHub and verify that for yourself. No need to trust me or Bitbox. When you go to bitbox.swiss/walker and use the promo code WALKER, not only do you get 5% off, but you also help support this podcast. So thank you.
For what it's worth, I did download the mobile app, and I am now a paid subscriber.
Because thank you.
Well, it's sweet. It's like, you know, and I firmly believe, like, when free is never free, and I think a lot of developers in the Bitcoin world still, I mean, literally are building like free and open source software in many cases. But whenever I have the opportunity to pay for a service that is being provided to me, I will take that, because it's like, I would rather that be the model. I would rather pay for things that I find valuable versus getting something, quote, for free, where there's all sort of data being collected on me, where I am, you know, I am the product. My data is the product. My attention is the product, versus no, the product is here and you're going to pay for it because it took work to build it. So like, that is the model I prefer. And so, yeah, I was very happy to be able to support it, and folks should check out the mobile app. It's super cool. I like the, I've just played around with a little bit so far, but the like tagging the photo with the block height and the price is like, that's a nice little way to keep kind of a visual diary, I think, denominated in Bitcoin, let's say.
Yeah, that feature took me by surprise, because it actually was the last major feature that I added before launch. And it was surprisingly close to launch when I actually decided to implement that and add it. But it's an interesting thing looking back over the last almost 3 years of the website being out. That was what I saw all the time on social media, would be somebody's kid is just born and they're pulling TimeChain Calendar out of their pocket to figure out what block height it was to sort of block stamp the birth of their kid. And that is such a cool thing. It's such a special thing. I can't think of any other context for caring about what block height it is than the birth of your child. But there's all these other significant life moments where it's just amazing, especially over a long period of time, to look back and say, wow, look at what block height it was. Or even look at the price. I was talking to a friend of mine who was just like, you know, block heights are so cool, but I swear, like, to me, the milestones are denominated in the US dollar exchange rate for Bitcoin. And I remember 58K, and I remember hitting 16K at the bottom of the bear. And, you know, it's like, these are interesting ways that our memory functions. And so the camera feature is kind of a very interesting sort of manifestation of that, where you're taking a picture or you're recording a short video, and to actually have the live block height and the price feed superimposed right over there, it's a new tool, and I'm excited to see where it goes from here, because I have a ton of ideas for how to actually develop it further and make it much more dynamic and give you a lot more options of what you can do. So it's just the very beginning of that. But that's kind of the spirit, I think, of my project, is that, you know, different ways to actually bring this thing that we all care about into your life, into your consciousness. Like, have it in your head, have it in your vision, and that allows you to actually think about it deeper. It allows you to care about it more. And all of that connects to your experience, your conviction, everything else.
I think it's I couldn't agree more, and it reminds me of like the opportunity cost extension that Marty Bent and his team built out at TFTC. Like another thing that's it's reframing the way that you are looking at the world, because I think that Bitcoin very much, like quite literally, has reframed the way all of us look at the world, at least if you're down that rabbit hole, right? And continues to reframe it, because the more you understand about Bitcoin, the more you realize you don't understand. And that's just like this beautiful journey in and of itself. But learning to see the world kind of through these orange colored glasses, let's say, and what that does in terms of changing you as a person, changing your perception of time. I mean, that was a huge one to me. I think like becoming a father has also done that for me as well, just very much in, when you speak about low time preference. You know, I thought I had this idea of what it meant to be a low time preference person before, because I read the Bitcoin Standard and, you know, I'm an enlightened Bitcoiner. And then I realized after our son was born, oh no, I didn't have any idea what real low time preference meant. And so, you know, but thinking in the world in terms of blocks or even in terms of fiat price, the blocks are more reliable probably than the fiat price. Because we all know fiat's a bad measuring stick, but it's true. We do have those kind of, it's psychologically very sticky. And we remember that, I think, because we also remember the euphoria of the highs, and we remember the, sometimes the pit in our stomach at the lows, but then that pit in your stomach maybe turns into a little bit of a fire where you say, now I'm going to buy. But I mean, first of all, the, you know, folks can see it right now if they're watching. If not, you can go to timechaincalendar.com. You can check out, it's just a time chain calendar on the app and Play Store, right? That for yep. people who want to search. Yeah. So you should check it out. It's just beautiful to look at. Like it's very satisfying. It's enjoyable. Like it's a beautiful visualization of this thing. And I think it's one of those things where it makes Bitcoin actually a little bit more accessible. Like, and I think that's important, because especially people just getting into Bitcoin, like you start hearing about blocks and difficulty adjustment and all these things. And you're like, oh, okay. Like, what does that actually mean? These halvings, like all yeah. of this stuff, it's not really intuitive, because I mean, it had never been done like this before and all put together in this way. So it's this very novel system. And I think what you've built is such a beautiful way to kind of make that more accessible and a little bit more tangible. Like I just want to say, like, hats off. It's just really fucking cool.
Well, thank you for that. Let me give a little bit of sort of context to that. You know, I got to shout out and give massive props to the giants that came before me that have done so much of the hard work that I am standing on top of now. I would start with NVK, with the block clock. Yeah. This web app was absolutely inspired by the block clock. I own two of them. I have a mini and a micro. Incredible, wonderful, legendary pieces of hardware. But it's amazing when you know, really spend time with some of these things, especially if you're somebody who builds and is creative, you might see ways in which you would want to do it differently. And then there's also aspects of, I love my block clock, but it just irked me. Sometimes it didn't update right when it should. Maybe the chain hits 3-4 blocks in a row really quick, and I'm looking at the block clock still 3 or 4 blocks behind. And so for me, as a guy who built on the web, I saw this opportunity, like, let me make a web sort of block clock. And that was one of the seeds, or one of the, you know, starting points for this project, was I wanted to see that block height real time updating. I was just wishing that the block clock did that. And so on the web, I could achieve that. So as a starting point, that big number in the middle, the block height, you know, I also really give so much respect, and I appreciate so deeply Clark Moody's dashboard and Mempool Space and some of these other resources that have been just lovingly crafted for years prior. And, you know, for me coming at it, I decided I really wanted to not just duplicate anyone else's efforts, but genuinely try to approach this from my point of view and bring something new. So really the project is an attempt to visualize some of the most important aspects of Bitcoin, in my opinion. And that's what is happening here with these circles. Now, you're looking at the website. We are looking at the website here on your screen. But the mobile app, actually, I took this design and took it a step further. You see that green circle just on the upper right of the main circles? That's showing you the time since the last block. That's now part of the main concentric circles design. It's actually now right in the center. It's the innermost circle on the mobile app. And in doing so, you have five concentric circles in that interface. And this is actually why it's called Time Chain Calendar. If you think about what a calendar is, it's a nested series of time frames. Here you are today, and you're inside of this row of days for the week. And that week is in a stack of weeks inside of a month, and months are inside of years. And we kind of delineate our lives by these time frames. Well, here in the time chain calendar, the innermost circle on the mobile app is that time since the last block, which I actually like to think of as it's the expectation of 10 minutes, because that circle represents a 10-minute time frame. And when it passes one 10-minute segment, it'll change color to indicate sort of we're beyond our expected time frame. And if it keeps going, watch it when it gets to 40, 50 minutes or an hour or more, it turns orange, it turns red. It really communicates this almost anxiety, like, when's this block coming? I was expecting it to be here in 10 minutes.
Where is it?
Right. So that's the innermost circle. And then just outside of that on the mobile app, here on the screen, it's the innermost circle, which is a sort of invisible circle with all these little teeny tiny squares all the way around it. And there's a very random pattern because that's showing you the last 24-hour distribution of blocks. And it's always moving and adjusting so that it's always displaying the distribution of blocks in the last 24 hours. And here's where it starts getting really interesting to me, because we experience Bitcoin blocks globally. There is no time zone. When the halving happened, and my website crashed, by the way, on the halving. When the halving happens, we are all experiencing that moment globally. It's not like New Year's Eve, where kind of goes off in phases, time zones around the globe. This is like a moment that as a global community of people, we experience. That's every block. So this 24 hours distribution of blocks, that circle with all the little squares going around, anywhere in the world, you look at time chain calendar, you see that same pattern. You'll see the same places where there's big gaps. You know, when we do get blocks that sometimes take 2 hours, you'll see a giant gap on that circle. You can also see when there's a flurry of blocks where for a couple hours it was just bam, 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 and they're stacked up. So it's a really interesting visual. I haven't seen that anywhere else. That was one thing that the very first time I got that working on my screen, I almost fell out of my chair because it's just an interesting visualization. So we got the time since the last block. We got the 24-hour distribution of blocks. Then we have the red circle, which is the difficulty adjustment cycle, which is 2016 blocks or roughly 2 weeks. So if you look at time chain calendar each day, like a calendar, you'll notice the indicator on the red circle moving. It kind of chunks around the circle. You can actually see its position noticeably change since the day before. The orange circle is the blocks to the halving. That is 210,000 blocks, roughly 4 years. I have not yet seen the orange circle make it all the way around, because I launched the site less than 3 years ago. Talk about low time preference. If you pay attention to this over time and you notice, because you remember the last halving, right? It was last April, not April this year, but last year, April. That's when that orange indicator was up at the sort of 12 o'clock position. And it's been a year and a half since then, just to get down to what, about 4:30 position there. So it's like one of these things where as a calendar, as this system of watching Bitcoin's progress, your life juxtaposed against Bitcoin's progress. That's what the essence of this is about. It's about something that you can look at and actually be reminded and given that time relevant context for where and when you are relative to Bitcoin. The outermost circle is the supply issuance. So that sort of dark orange, that's the percentage of Bitcoin supply issuance. And there's little notches that show you the halvings. And I'm going to ask you to grab that blinking little handle on the slider below there and start slowly sliding that to the left. And you can see the halving circle moving back. Boom, you just passed that halving, and you can see the number, the Roman numeral of the halving changing, and you see the supply changing. And look at that outer circle. See the supply rolling back? And this is a really interesting visual because this allows you to actually clearly see the relationship between the halvings and the supply issuance in a visual way. So you just passed the first halving, and we're now going down from 50% supply issuance. And if you go all the way to the left, you get all the way to the Genesis block. If you leave it there, you'll get a few little Easter eggs that pop up on the screen. And this is basically where it all started. And the mobile app has a really nice experience of that UI where you can just, with your finger, grab the slider and move it around. And there's something, I think, very beneficial educationally from seeing that relationship of the halving to the supply issuance. Because I'll tell you, people talk about it. And I remember before I understood what the halving was, and I remember hearing it explained a whole variety of ways. And I sort of remember my fuzzy, incomplete mental model of that. Well, here's an actual visualization that you can interact with and refine your mental model and understand what that is. So now grab the slider again and just go back the other way. And you can see the issuance of Bitcoin from the beginning and cruise on through, and you can see we get to 50% supply in that first epoch, and then 75% supply in the next one, and so on and so forth. And so just understanding Bitcoin's fixed supply and the supply issuance, you know, it's a trip to look at that circle. It's almost 95% complete, and it's going to take about 100 years or so for it to finish. Some of these concepts are just difficult to wrap your head around. This, to me, is the value of visualizing things. This is what is so cool about effective visualizations, is they help you get a handle mentally on the concept, and then you can actually grow your own thinking a little bit more effectively from there. So that's, in essence, the whole spirit of the project, is visualizing Bitcoin from a protocol perspective, as far as what are the really important aspects of Bitcoin's design that matter to me over time. I just want to make a comment about the difficulty adjustment too, because the whole interface started with the orange circle and the red circle. And the difficulty adjustment, I think, is second in importance to the halving, because of course the halving is what gives Bitcoin a fixed supply. We don't have fixed supply at 21 million without a halving. That's literally the mechanism that makes that happen. I think a lot of new people in Bitcoin should be asking how. It's great to learn Bitcoin 21 million. It's a wonderful meme. How? Well, because the halving, because there's a certain amount issued per block. And after you get to 210,000 blocks, the amount per block is cut in half. It's like you've got a hose turned on full blast, and then you turn it off 50% of the way, and then you turn it off 50% of the way. And you keep doing that until the smallest drip of water is coming out. Some point in the future, our great, great, great grandkids will be looking at one Satoshi per block as the subsidy. And then the halving comes, and there's no half a Satoshi, so it just goes from one Satoshi to no more Satoshis, and there's our fixed supply. So that's why the halving's so significant. And the difficulty adjustment is the pacing of it. You know, Satoshi cared so much about making the system fair in whatever ways that it could be. It's not ideal, it's not the fairest, but it has a lot of thought gone into the design in regards to fair issuance. And the whole idea that because it's proof of work, if you just had an increasing group of people competing for blocks like we've had, look at the hash rate chart at times. Like, I mean, it's just parabolic. And if you had that kind of competition increase, you're going to basically get blocks faster and faster. And probably all 21 million would have been issued in the first 5 years.
Yeah.
Like, this is incredible to me. The difficulty adjustment is the mechanism that makes sure that it takes multiple human lifetimes to issue the supply of Bitcoin. It paces it out so that despite a parabolic increase in the competition for blocks, that supply is issued over multiple human lifetimes. Granted, it's a slower and slower issuance, and the people who were there in the beginning had an opportunity to get so much, but it's like really profoundly meaningful to me that the difficulty adjustment was so thoughtfully implemented here to pace this distribution of Bitcoin so that my kids, my grandkids, my great-grandkids one day will actually still have an opportunity to get new Bitcoin from the protocol.
It's mind-blowing to me. So again, I think it's one of those things where the more you learn about Bitcoin and the more you go deep into these concepts and you really start to learn the mechanisms that Satoshi created, I go back and forth in this, like, God, was he really just that brilliant that he foresaw that he created this? I mean, you could argue that it's not perfect because nothing is perfect, but damn, is it pretty close. Like, the game theory of it is incredible. And you start to wonder how much of this was really, really purposeful and how much was kind of like a happy accident where it's like, if Satoshi was looking at it now, you know, from wherever he is, or, you know, from another dimensional plane, would he say, wow, didn't think about that, but hey, it worked out pretty well. Like, do you think about that at all? Like, how much forethought? I mean, clearly a ton of forethought went into it, but some of these things, I'm just like, man, did you really know it was going to work out so well? It blows my mind. If so, I mean, it blows my mind either way, because it's either unparalleled genius or really happy accidents that have occurred. But it's either way, it's remarkable.
I can't help but acknowledge the brilliance, not just of the technical design, but the sort of in tuneness with human nature. Mm-hmm. There's like a mad psychologist to go along with the mad scientist, right? There's like somebody who really gets it, what makes human beings do what they do. And that's some of the secret sauce here. And I think it speaks to how genius the whole system is, because it's not just the technical feat. You know, Satoshi didn't invent proof of work and SHA-256 and public-private key cryptography. I mean, there's so many pieces of Bitcoin that were created. He was standing on the shoulders of giants that came before him. But the brilliance is in seeing a way forward and how to use these pieces to construct this system. It's stunning. I mean, it's incredible. And, you know, we're currently living in a period of time where there's a lot of drama and there's a lot of disagreement. And, you know, I sometimes just come around full circle to the meme of the honey badger and how resilient this thing is. And, you know, this system is going to just keep ticking and talking and making new blocks. And it's incredible. Again, what do you look at to kind of remind yourself? What do you see to reflect on these things over time? Because everybody has their moments where they're really focused and you're thinking about it. But we're all so busy and overwhelmed with the world, and this project has been a real kind of refuge for me, and I offer it to the Bitcoiners out there as something that hopefully can actually help them understand a little more about Bitcoin, find that contextual headspace, that refuge, to remind you on a daily basis, no matter what craziness is going on, you can look here and, wow, look what block we're at. Wow, look at the production of the blocks, and damn you, Foundry, with all the blocks you're hitting. And, you know, there's so many different things. Like, the, you know, the hash rate right now is just, you know, it's been flirting with a zeta hash. And on all the averages, they're finally catching up now. And it's just, we're going to move on. And a year or two from now, we're going to look back, and who knows where the hash rate's going to be then. And I feel like it's just one of these things. Like, I pay attention to Bitcoin now on a deeper level because I have this thing to look at every day. So maybe that's kind of my message, is, you know, time chain calendar is not the only way to do that. There's, like I mentioned, so many other great sites that offer this same information. It's about, I think it really is an important aspect of Bitcoin, is don't stop learning. Don't stop and rest on your current perspective. There's too much. There's nobody who understands every facet of Bitcoin. But certainly, as a Bitcoiner, as a pleb, you start out knowing almost nothing. And the journey is like almost one of education. That in so many ways, even if you put on your investor hat and you look at all these suit coiners that are out there now, and so many people who just see it from the point of view of the price, and it's like, that's the arbitrage. That is literally the arbitrage, is, do you understand what this thing is? Do you understand the problem in the world today? And not just what the solution is, but why is Bitcoin the solution, and how is Bitcoin the solution? And you start developing answers to those questions. I mean, talk about conviction. Talk about the ability to see your life on a longer time frame, to start thinking more low time preference and making decisions for future generations. It all spawns from that. It all spawns from just better relevant perspective about all of these things. So
is there a part of this journey for you in building out this time chain calendar that was like, did you discover something about, or like, how did that like really shift your own perspective? Was there anything that you came around to? Like, obviously, of course, you already had a pretty deep understanding of Bitcoin when you started building this out, given that necessarily you would need such an understanding, you know, at least a pretty good one, to know what kind of stuff you want to put into this to this visualization. But was there ever a point where you were kind of like, whoa, okay, I kind of never thought about it this way, or something that really like took you aback, perhaps either in its in its brilliance, or just some sort of like, you know, second or third order effect or anything like that?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's crazy launching this mobile app. It's such a big deal to me, but it's honestly just the next step on a long list of steps to come. And as far as what I've done with this project, there's massive new frontiers to break still. I feel like I've forced myself to be very disciplined and not rush into other obvious areas. You know, there's a major facet of this dashboard that's missing, that once it's there, this will be a full-blown block explorer, which is, I give you information about each block, but it's very high level. It's not like mempool space where you can then click into the block and see all the transactions. I love it.
I was like, we were going on like 33 minutes there. Sorry to interrupt, but I was starting to get a little bit anxious there. I'm like, maybe we'll never find another block again. Maybe this is the last block.
That's the whole thing. Every time one hits, you're getting confirmation that the system is still working. It's Bitcoin's heartbeat. It's Bitcoin's irregular heartbeat. What I was saying is there's a whole nother frontier still for me to cross with this project, which is bringing in the view of all the transactions inside each block and diving into the details of each transaction. I mean, talk about a rabbit hole from a knowledge and understanding point of view. You know, any Bitcoiner, go over to mempool space, click on a block, pick a transaction, click on that transaction, click show details, and start looking at what is inside these things. And it is mind-blowing. And the amount of knowledge and understanding that is waiting to be crossed is pretty vast. Okay, so go scroll up, click on any of those purple blocks, scroll down, and you're in a, keep going. You're in a list of transactions there. Just pick a transaction, click the link up at the top of any of those rectangles. Yep, scroll down. Look at the diagram. Click on the details button on the right side.
I always love this diagram. It's such a cool way to look at it.
It's wonderful.
This diagram actually helped me understand UTXOs a lot better. Like more intuitively. You know what I mean? Like I know it's an unspent transaction output, but like just literally seeing it like that, you're like, oh, well, duh. Okay. That, you know, that makes more sense.
Yeah. And now start looking at like the actual inputs and outputs.
Mm-hmm.
And there's so much information and technical aspects of these things. And, you know, these days, obviously, there's so many different kinds of transactions, and there's so many different techniques and different purposes of transactions. And it's a very deep rabbit hole. So I didn't want to kind of do a half-assed job on any of that. And so I've actually ended up just focusing on that high level. I call Time Chain Calendar a time chain explorer for that reason. Because I don't really offer you the opportunity to dive into the details of the blocks yet. And that is in the roadmap. That is coming at some point. So it's just, you know, again, though, sometimes it's withholding or omitting that you actually find your sort of North Star and your purpose. Like for me, I've really tried to hone in on what it is that I'm really trying to do. It's that main circles interface is the main sort of like stage, so to speak, of where I'm working. So, you know, that's one nice thing about the mobile app is it really kind of makes your view very focused because there's far less there and those circles dominate that home screen. And just looking at that part of the interface and the information that's in the corners there.
It is super clean. And
it's a lot to absorb just even there. So for me, I think of this project as a way to, you know, like I've been saying, it's your calendar. You check in on where and when you are in the time chain, and you can always scroll back through the blocks. You can search for blocks. There's really cool search features in the mobile app to be able to search by block height. You can just tap the big block number in the middle on the mobile app.
Mm.
You can actually do that on the website too. There is you can actually just type a block height in there. That'll work. And it jumps you back to that point in time. Oh, yeah. Look, you found a little hidden piece of art.
Look at that.
Yeah, there's a sneaky sort of slightly hidden art gallery baked into Time Chain Calendar. If you know, you know. There's actually a gallery button right down there at the bottom. You can just jump into the gallery. But
that
got
is,
a ton I, of really great Bitcoin artists and placed all their art on different blocks. This is kind of another little fun facet of this project.
That's awesome. I love that. I mean, there's so many interesting ways that you can take this too. I mean, I'm curious if I can ask, and you feel free to like, if for OPSEC reasons you don't want to say, but are you doing any sort of work outside of this right now, or have you truly gone entirely into this? Because if so, that's amazing.
Yeah, it's been over 2 years since I've had a job working for anybody else. And I like to say I'm essentially unemployable at this point. No, this is it. This is all I work on. This is all I think about each day. And I'm operating solo. I did this website myself, and I launched these mobile apps myself. And yeah, it's really an absolute labor of love at this point. And I can't even think of anything else that I should be doing.
I think that that's incredible. And I mean, obviously your skill is self-apparent in looking at this, but did you say that you actually, did you mention you're basically full stack now? Did mm-hmm. you, had you built mobile apps prior and it, like, or was this kind of your first foray into the mobile app side of things?
You know, there was a couple projects that I contributed to back in my startup years. There were, there's one company in particular had a React Native app, which is using React, which is something I was using on the web. Actually, timechaincalendar.com is built with React. But apart from just brief contributions, this is the first time I actually built from scratch an iOS or an Android app. And I was able to do those in parallel. I used an incredible platform called Flutter, which I would highly recommend to any engineer that's interested in building native apps. It was definitely some learning curve up front. I had never used the Dart coding language that it uses, but, I got to tell you, Walker, we're in the era of there's no such thing as you don't know how to do it anymore, you know, with AI and with determination and creativity, you can conquer your learning curves and you can conquer entirely new, areas of work faster and easier than you ever have been able to before. So really the entire challenge of building backend, building on native apps that I'd never done before was not something that I couldn't overcome.
I think that that's actually such an important point because at least in my mind, there's a lot of extreme opinions on AI on both sides and in the middle of people, but it goes all over the place, right? Everybody has a spicy hot take at all times. But one of the things that I think is really heartening is what you're describing, where you as a solo developer working independently without deep knowledge in some of these other areas can much more quickly acquire said knowledge and have the tools to be able to build a meaningful application very, very quickly, relatively speaking, when it's just you working on it. Like, you don't need a giant team. You don't have to outsource the grunt work to a bunch of, you know, kids in India either. Also, this is a sidebar, but I think, boy, India's kind of brute force developer economy is going to suffer, I believe, in these next couple of years, if it's not already, just given the fact that so much of that kind of brute force grunt development work that was previously outsourced doesn't really need to be outsourced anymore. Not at the same level it did. So that's going to be really interesting. But I'm curious if you think the advantage, like if there's more of an asymmetric advantage on the side of the individual developers now, or if this just is a further centralizing force where, yeah, you can do more as an individual developer, but still it's nothing, you know, the big guys are always still going to come in and, you know, and take what they want. I don't know how do you feel about that?
I think that there's change in the air, but with a lot of things like this, not everybody sees the change at the same time, and not everyone adapts in the same way. So what I see is a very wide spectrum of different outcomes, where a lot of these large technology companies have basically been barreling towards, you know, outsourcing and going remote as of, you know, 5-6 years ago. And then in the last 2 or 3 years, I think the race is on to figure out how AI fits into so many of these processes. How do you build enterprise software using those tools? I think that the companies and enterprises out there, they all have to figure out how to evolve quickly because the landscape is certainly changing. And I think we're already seeing, the end users are expecting a sort of different outcome with these tools. But it's, I think without a doubt, it's a sort of golden era for anyone who is a builder who's driven, because I remember 10 years ago having this realization when you had Udemy and YouTube and all these different cloud-based resources where suddenly you could learn a new skill and you didn't have to go through a 2 or a 4 year college program to get a computer science degree. You could actually just figure it out. I mean, so much of my years in web development, and by the way, I never had a computer science degree. But I always said, you know, that the secret to any of it was just figuring out what you didn't know, whether it was, you know, learning how to just do really effective searches with Google and find the right forum posts where somebody was having the same problem you were having and figuring it out, or, you know, going and taking little tutorials or workshops and upskilling and figuring out how to, you know, get a set of skills that you would need. I just think that with AI now, it's a whole nother level of traction that you can get so quickly. You can start building and learn as you're building. You can just absolutely tear down the unknown. I love AI just for strategizing. It's incredible. If you have an idea and you have no clue how you would even go about executing on that idea, that's a wonderful use for this technology. So it's just empowering the individual. And it really does come down to the individual. I think somebody with far fewer skills, but a ton of determination and effort can achieve more than somebody who has a ton of experience and skills, but doesn't necessarily feel that motivated to, you know, grow or do something new. So I think there's really valuable perspectives there. This is just the 2025 modern version of that same kind of conundrum that I think humans have faced all through the millennium. So it's just, this is our generation's dynamic. And, you know, for me sitting there, you know, middle-aged guy, kind of like end of my reliable work career, and like this total obsession with Bitcoin, and I have these, you know, web front-end development chops, and I spent a lot of time, I spent a good 5-6 months talking to people and thinking and brainstorming about what was I going to do and how was I going to advance this to the next stage. My mobile app is the first big step forward, and I'm stoked that I got it done myself, and I'm stoked that looking back that it only took a year and a quarter. But I remember last October when I was like, I think I'm going to launch at the end of November. And here I am next September. And so it's all relative. I really think that anyone who is sufficiently motivated, if they have access to this technology, you could do things in superhuman amount of time if you're determined. If you're one of these people who you just burn the midnight oil and you pound away at something, you could probably achieve what would have taken you years in the past in just months or weeks. And so it's just one of the things we're going to see is that there are people doing that now. And you see all this vibe coded stuff where it's like, I mean, Jack with BitChat in a weekend, that is real. That's wild. Like an idea come to fruition in unbelievably short amount of time. So that's the era we're in. And I hope anybody who's listening to this, think about your own perspective and what do you care about and what ideas do you have? What kind of things have you thought of where you were like, nah, I don't know how to do that. I could never do that. Well, we're living in the era where those phrases shouldn't be uttered, because you have a way now to kind of break those barriers down. At the very least, like, you could figure out how you would go about achieving those things. And that's an incredible new tool in your toolkit.
It's going to be fascinating to see how this truly just revolutionizes the state of kind of quote higher education, especially around some of these, you know, very technical fields like computer science. Because, you know, there, I feel like there used to be some, if you talk to like older developers, sometimes there was a stigma around like, oh, well, he's self-taught. So he doesn't have, you know, all the chops of us who are these computer science majors. Now it's kind of like, I feel like in the coming years, it's very much going to be like, why would you waste your time going to school? They're so far behind, you know, and maybe that's not going to be the case for every university. Some will probably be very much with the times, but, you know, like a lot of times they're not. Because they have their curriculums, they're big behemoth institutions, they're slower moving. Yes, you may have some professors who are more with the times, but a lot of them decidedly not so. So that's going to be fascinating. And the other thing that I think is really fascinating, and this comes back to Jeff Booth's thesis around just the deflationary nature of technology and how this is going to accelerate. Because when a single person can do what used to require an entire team and even more time and more resources, when a single person can now do that, well, that's just driving that marginal cost of production lower and lower and lower. And it's driving it so fast. Like if you just see what's become possible now, just in like the last year or two with as these AI tools have gotten better, it's wild. And we're still in the early innings of that. So that is going to accelerate and accelerate. And when you have that ability, when anybody can take an idea and not even necessarily need to have the capital, they don't need to have the capital to back them to you know, buy out a big team. They can just go and do it, or at least get a pretty good MVP. If we're talking about software, like you can come up with get a pretty good MVP out, even if you're not the most technical person, you now have that ability with vibe coding. Granted, you're probably going to need some help from actually technical people polishing it up later. But if you're already a technical person like yourself, well then, I mean, you are like a one-stop shop. That's incredible. And I feel like the effects of that are ultimately overwhelmingly positive, because again, it means more competition in the marketplace, which drives costs down, which makes everything better for everyone, right? Except for the fact that, you know, that means they need to print more money, because otherwise this big inflationary house of cards all collapses. But I'm glad we have Bitcoin in that case, you know. Yeah. But it's wild to think about.
Yeah, I had it's reminding me of a conversation I had with a family member of mine who's, getting close to coming out of high school. And I talked to them and I'm, you know, just excited and wanting to share about AI and, hey, check out what I have been able to overcome and what is possible. And, hey, have you thought about taking a different path? Have you thought about maybe taking advantage of the next year before you're out of high school and hustle and maybe even like launch your own business before you even get out of high school and skip college altogether? And wanting to talk to this young person about why I would even suggest something like that. How has the world around us changed that maybe requires an entirely different strategy of young people? And therein lies a whole nother arbitrage, because there are people doing that now. There are, and they're looked at like, oh, look at this genius wonder kid. No, that's just somebody who actually took an idea and put it into action and started earlier. And there's unbelievable different outcomes there. And I think about, you know, this family member of mine going out and doing college and being on the other end of that 5 years from now, when we're in that much greater of a clownish scenario out there in the world, and they're no better equipped to actually survive in the world because of that educational path. So it's just, to me, that's a huge dynamic that I think a lot of Bitcoiners take for granted, is that I think just because being in the Bitcoin scene, you're already thinking differently in enough ways, but your perspectives over time, I think, puts you in a place where you're allowing yourself to, you know, really be skeptical and allowing yourself to possibly discover completely different ways forward. And I think that's one of the potential sort of, you know, life rafts in this crazy scenario, you know, Bitcoin being the ultimate life raft, but What do you do? Like, how do you actually put food on the table while you're, you know, still stacking and trying to get to, you know, a place where your family is safe and everything. I look at young people and it's like, there's such an opportunity here if you just understand what these tools really are and what possibilities they actually offer you. I don't know.
No, I couldn't agree more. And the ones that take advantage of that now are going to be leaps and bounds ahead of everybody else. And they're going to keep getting further and further ahead. And that's the thing. I think that the children of Bitcoiners, of, you know, people, early Bitcoiners, and I view early Bitcoiners as, if you're in Bitcoin right now, you are an early Bitcoiner. And I think, like, first of all, would you agree with that statement broadly?
Yeah. I mean, I think somebody who's starting today is not late. Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
I think maybe you're not totally early, but you're definitely not late.
Yeah. Because unless you're Satoshi, there was always somebody who was earlier than you, right? So relatively speaking, there's always somebody who was earlier, but like, we are still in the innovators phase of this in terms of actual adoption numbers, I think, in terms of real raw adoption numbers. So if you are the child of a Bitcoiner in 15, 20 years from now, like, the world is going to look very different. And the world may have gone through an unbelievable amount of tumult and chaos in between. But the world that will be created afterwards, that will rise up from these ashes, is going to, I believe, be more abundant and beautiful than we can imagine. And it is going to require pain in the way there. But if you're the child of a Bitcoiner, if you're, you know, lucky enough, you know, I think of the meme with it's like the 1950s dad with the two kids sitting on his lap, you know, oh, dad, what were you doing during the pandemic? You know, it's like stacking sats like a psychopath, you know, fucking legend. Like, yep. it's really going to be that. You're going to be so advantaged from a economic perspective, for one. But I believe that also, hopefully, we as Bitcoiner parents do our job well, our children will think differently. They will think differently about the way that they interact with society, the type of society we build, the type of system that they want to operate in, and how they don't have to play by the same rules that we played with, how they don't have to play by the same rules that even their peers play with, that there are other paths forward, and that there is so much power in that realization. And sure, you know, maybe they still just become podcasters, but at least they'll be Bitcoin podcasters.
Yeah, I mean, there's a huge vector of freedom involved there too, right? Yeah. Because even if you have a great job and you work in an industry that you can enjoy or that you even deeply care about, there's trade-offs that you're making constantly whenever you're working on someone else's terms. And I think that's a huge feature of the modern working person's life, is this sort of hopelessness that comes from that rigid framework. And you know that, okay, for the next however many decades, I have got to show up and do what I'm told. And there's a whole nother path possible. I mean, I've started to see the world a little differently as far as, you know, the people that, it's a lot of like really successful or really wealthy people are just living on their own terms. And maybe it's just as simple as, you know, people who are taking full advantage of the tax code versus not understanding the tax code, but a lot of it, I think, really comes down to, are you working on someone else's terms, or have you managed to orchestrate a situation in your life where you're truly working on your own terms? So to me, the subject we've been talking about here with, new ways to build and new opportunities to conquer learning curves, this is like incredible shortcuts to short circuit that like predetermined path that everyone seems to be on. Go through high school, go through college for another phase of your life, go out there and work for decades, and one day you're going to sit on a beach and retire and get your Social Security check. Yeah, right. It's like, I think we can all see clearly that whole promise is being rug pulled. And so I think it's a call to action that you've got to start thinking differently. It doesn't mean you have to just upend your current situation and totally shift gears right away, but start paying attention to what's happening. And you may just realize you have entirely other options. And I think that's another Bitcoin theme. That's, to me, what Bitcoin represents, is optionality in a future where so few people are going to have options. And so this is one that kind of touches on your career and how you actually keep your boat afloat. There are massive opportunities right now. And I think it's very hard to think of a line of work where you couldn't in some way add some efficiency gain, if not absolutely revolutionize what you're doing through just paying attention, utilizing some of this technology, finding that entrepreneurial spirit in yourself. I mean, after all, you're not just going to sit on a beach sipping a Mai Tai. You need to do something with your life. You need to have something to care about. You need to have something to be excited about waking up to each day.
You may as well be vibe coding on the beach, drinking your Mai Tai. You know, like if you're gonna be out on a beach, you're gonna get bored. I think that's the thing. And I think especially, I'm gonna speak for men because I am one, but I think in my experience, and you know, knowing folks who have, you know, are older and have retired, and those that are older and haven't retired and are doing that because they're making a choice that they want to keep being involved in things. You know, they want to keep building businesses, doing these things. It's not out of necessity, but out of choice. If you have to keep working out of necessity as a cashier at Walmart when you're 75, that's not ideal, right? That's not ideal. But if you want to keep building businesses and creating products and creating value when you're that age and you don't want to retire, I think that ends up keeping you young longer. I think that you need those things to keep you engaged, to keep you to keep your mind agile, and to give you a sense of purpose, right? And not that you cannot get purpose through other means, but you know, it's a thing again, especially for men. It's like a lot of the purpose comes from being a provider, right? From being able to know that what you are doing is creating value, and that is allowing you to take care of your family. And you know, you can like the greatest value that I get personally is like spending time with my wife and my son and my parents and her parents and, you know, our sisters. Like, that's the greatest value I have. And I want to be able to take care of my family as much as I possibly can. And so I will sacrifice some of the amount of time that I could be spending with them to make sure that I'm creating value that will last long into the future. And that's also a difficult balancing act. Like, it's a really difficult balancing act to figure out, like, at what point is it enough? Do you know what I mean? Because if you're a complete, quote, workaholic, and I don't want to put a negative stigma out there on folks, like if you love what you're doing, by all means, keep doing it. But like, as a parent, now something that I've been really thinking a lot about is like, okay, at what point does it not become worth it for me to put in those extra hours to, you know, to make those extra sats, those extra dollars, whatever? At what point is that no longer worth it? Because the whole reason I'm doing that is to provide the best possible life I can for my family. Part of providing the best possible life I can for my family is also spending time with my family. Doesn't matter if I'm flying them on private jets everywhere, if I'm not there, I'm also not flying them on private jets. We've got a long, very long way to go for that. But you know what I mean? This is something I think about, and it all comes back to this question of time, right? And, yep. And your own personal time chain. It comes back to the question of, how do you want to spend that time? And why I'm really grateful for Bitcoin is because it does give me more of a freedom of choice. Because I'm saving in Bitcoin, I do have more of an ability to choose how I spend my time. I would not have that if I was still just saving in fiat, right? I purely would not. And I think that that's a really powerful thing, because that gives us the ability where it's like, what's the marginal value of that extra, you know, few hours worked that could have been spending time with your family? Like, how much marginal gain did you get from that? And I think there is a diminishing marginal return there, right? But thankfully, like, you don't even have to necessarily worry about that as much, because you have Bitcoin as your savings mechanism. You have something that cannot be debased, so your time cannot be debased, your life force cannot be debased. And that allows you to be a lot more intentional, I think, which is what it ultimately comes down to. Because I'm not saying, like, don't work at something you love. Like, that's great if you can, and people should do that. That is, like, the goal, right? But it's also like, you know, if you're like, I'm still mining fiat, you know, in addition to, you know, podcasting right now, I'm in between some sponsors. So like this will be like a pure value for value episode, which I'm doing now, which I'm like, yeah, you know what? Because the great thing is that I actually, this is something that I've made the choice that even if I wasn't making money on it, I would still do this. Like right now I'm not making money on it. I'm literally doing this because I love talking to people about Bitcoin. And I think it's really important to have as many Bitcoin podcasts as possible. In a non-sarcastic way, I mean that, because I want as many people as possible, as many plebs like me as possible, to get Bitcoin. And the more podcasts we have, the more people we have writing articles, the more people we have tweeting about it, no matter how toxic, that's a good thing. But I'm making that, like, every time I do this, I'm making a value judgment, right? And I do think that long-term, like, this is something that is going to be beneficial to my family, even though it's time that I could be spending with them or time I could be spending mining fiat, because all of these little things we do within the Bitcoin community are things that help to create that hyper Bitcoinized future that we all want, which ultimately benefits us. It benefits our families. It benefits all of us. So that's a very long-winded way of saying, I think that what's so incredible about Time Chain Calendar is that it's a great reminder of how precious our time is and the passage of that time. And it's something that you should think deeply about, which is, how are you spending your time? And it's also funny, we talk about spending time and saving time, right? We talk about time like it's money. There's a reason for that, right? Fiat's just a really bad way to spend or save your time. So thankfully we have Bitcoin. Rant,
yeah, I mean, fiat is a time, very nice rant, by the way. The fiat is the time thief. I mean, this is the biggest immoral part of all of this monetary system that we're trying to solve for. It's taking time away from you. People are working towards some perceived retirement that they may never get to because the holes in the bucket are so big. So, you know, Bitcoin goes a long way towards solving that. You have to work hard, though. You have to actually stack and keep stacking. You have to learn and keep learning. And when it comes to a lot of these questions about what do you do for work and what is your career, you know, these are just modes of perhaps capturing more time in your future, maybe bringing forward that time of your life when you're able to actually stretch out and relax more and have a little more fun and spend more time and be there. I mean, you know, I see it every day with my family. Some days it's just, there's fleeting moments and you have to actually stop what you're doing. You have to actually make that space to really be in that moment, to really gain from it, and you never get it back. The next day is a different one. So it's, I think all of these things, this is again why I think Bitcoin is so meaningful, just to put these kinds of thoughts in your head, to get you thinking in a new way, to get you open-minded enough to see different ways forward and to actually take courageous, risky steps to really further advantage you and your family so that your time is more your own. You know, what I was saying before about working on your own terms, it's huge to actually dictate what you're going to be spending your lifetime doing versus kind of signing up for a regimented thing on somebody else's schedule and somebody else's terms. And that's your lifetime being spent with this dangling carrot of, oh yeah, decades from now, you'll be able to do it on your terms. It's such a Faustian bargain. It's such just bullshit. And so, you know, that's where I'm grateful that I've been in this thing these last several years. And I got to this place a couple years ago where I'm like, okay, it's time to figure out how to carve that new path. And I'm overwhelmed with having made it. I look at it like I made it to base camp. I am by no means at the summit, but I feel like launching this app was like making it to base camp, and it was a harrowing journey to get there. But here I am, and I'm so excited for what lays ahead And all these things we've been talking about are critical aspects of that going forward.
I want to be conscious of the time we have and maybe give you a chance to talk about a little bit. Because I know I just saw, like, I think in, it was either your post on X or on Noster, but just saying, like, some of the things that you're planning on building, some of these features that you're building out. This is one of the reasons I did the paid subscription. Like, one being, want to support the awesome work that you're doing. Yes, you're giving me a valuable product. Yes, but also because you kind of teased it and you were like, well, any other special features that come out, you're going to get them. And I was like, what are those features going to be? Can you hint at any of those? And we got a new block.
Beautiful block, too. I love those even number blocks.
It's satisfying, right? It's satisfying. But yeah, so whatever you can tease out without giving too much away.
Let me give you and your listeners a little hint, because I didn't mention this in any of the announcements with the app. Somebody's going to notice it. People are going to find out and look for it. But when new blocks hit on the mobile app, the ripples, that animation that we've been seeing a couple times here on the website, it's different on the mobile app, and it's dynamic, and different blocks have different patterns of ripples. And so that's actually something really fun to look for. The even number blocks do something different, and basically, like, there's a sort of algorithmic scheme by which the pattern of the ripples is occurring. So some blocks you only see a little one or two ripples, and other blocks you see more, and there's different thicknesses, and it's kind of interesting. So just check for that. But in regards to your question, yeah, there's a lot more coming. I mean, I had to, again, sort of be sort of disciplined and hold back and not talk about it too much on this launch. But there's so much more coming for the existing features. There's going to be way more widgets. There's going to be way more different flavors of alerts that you can set. There's going to be way more features in the camera. So subscribing just, like, sets you up to just get all this stuff. There's other big features going to land in the mobile app. I don't want to talk about those quite yet.
That's cool.
One big obvious one that a lot of people remind me of regularly is the watch app, which before I decided to build the mobile app, I actually wanted to build the watch app. And in my early proof of concept experimentation, it was clear to me that to really make it successful, it needed a mobile app to pair with it. And that's why, one of the big reasons why I decided to go with the mobile app first. So now that the mobile app is out, there's a clear path to executing the watch app. So that's coming too. As far as even bigger picture, TimeChain Calendar is going to grow to as many platforms as I can bring it to. I just have this vision in my head of these circles on any screen anywhere, really tiny, small, compact on your wrist, all the way up to filling a TV screen, filling up a whole wall. You know, it's going to be all over the place. So basically, in a nutshell, without actually getting too specific, I'm going to be just bringing the concept to as many different platforms as I can. And that was the exciting thing about the mobile, is that's a huge new platform beyond web to start working on. And each of these platforms offers new features and new ways to interact with it. All of it, hopefully, in the spirit of just connecting you more with this thing that you're so obsessed with this thing that you care about and that you want to learn more about and you want to kind of live in a connected state with.
I'll just say a couple of the things that I thought were really cool about the mobile app, beyond the ones we've talked about already. Just the this day in Bitcoin, that's super cool. It's just like sourcing a little bit of Bitcoin, you know, history, a little few Bitcoin fun facts. Very nice. And then what I still need to do, actually, I need to set it as my as a widget on my lock screen. Because right now I think I've got like the Bitcoin price that I'm pulling from. I think I'm pulling it from like the Apple Stocks app or something right now. And it's fine, but like, this looks so cool.
I've got the US dollar price. I've got the Moscow time version with and without a little Bitcoin symbol, depending on how much OPSEC you want to have on your lock screen. Check it out, because there's, I think, something like 12 or 13 different lock screen widgets you can apply on iOS.
It's awesome.
And so have fun, mix and match, play around.
It's super cool. And again, it's just like something that like makes Bitcoin more accessible to you. And it makes it a lot easier to see what the price is without, you know, opening up a different app. And
well, see, that's what I'm talking about.
I'm always curious, you know?
That's one of these ways to be more connected, right? Yeah. Instead of actually having to open the app and look, you just glance at your lock screen or glance at your home screen, and it surfaces that information for you to see it without having to even open an app. You know, I'm really excited about the watch for that reason, so that you just have it there on your wrist and it can buzz you every block, or it can buzz you when, you know, price thresholds get hit. And there's just so much more. All of these paradigms are really, I'm just scratching the surface with. So excited to just keep adding on and giving you more and more value for your subscription. So
I love it, man. Well, I'm glad we finally got a chance to have this conversation. People should check out timechaincalendar.com, Time Chain Calendar in the App Store and the Play Store. It's cool. You are not paying me to say this. I'm literally paying you. So you know that it's sincere for folks who want to check it out. But I'll link your Noster and your X in here. But I want to just let people know where else to find you, or anything else you want to talk about.
I mean, there's so much more. I'd love to come back and have more conversations.
We're going to have you back on. Yeah, but
just to wrap it up, timechaincalendar.com on the web, and you know, the socials, follow the project account Time Chain Cal on Twitter if you're there, and on Noster, I'm at TC. The NIP05 is TC at timechaincalendar.com. And that's basically a parallel account as far as the content that I post to what's going on over there on Twitter. I'm actually just kind of finding the courage and the context for approaching Noster in a new way at this point. I think I'm going to use that camera feature, and I'm going to start a vlog. I've been kind of like building up the courage to do it. But I think I'm going to start doing that. And you know, Noster is an incredible platform, and it is not the same thing as Twitter. And there's so many frontiers that I'm yet to kind of dive more into. So I'm excited about that. So if anything, connect with me there. And I'm just super grateful for coming on and chatting with you. This has been wonderful. I'm super overwhelmed with the positive response, of the launch on Monday. And, I am just jacked, excited about what's to come. So stay tuned.
Well, thank you for spending some of your scarce time with me. It's much appreciated. People should seriously check it out. Time Chain Calendar is just very cool. It's very satisfying. and I might have to get a smartwatch just to be able to display it once you do have that go live. But until then, yeah, looking forward to your vlog, your vibe logging on Noster. We'll see you over there. But seriously, thanks for coming on. It was a blast. I'll have to have you back soon.
Awesome. Cheers.
Cheers. And that's a wrap on this Bitcoin Talk episode of the Bitcoin Podcast. Remember to subscribe to this podcast wherever you're watching or listening, and share it with your friends, family, and strangers on the internet. Find me on Noster at primal.net/walker and this podcast at primal.net/titcoin. On X, YouTube, and Rumble, just search at Walker America. And find this podcast on X and Instagram at Titcoin Podcast. Head to the show notes to grab sponsor links. Head to substack.com/@WalkerAmerica to get episodes emailed to you. And head to bitcoinpodcast.net for everything else. Bitcoin is scarce, but podcasts are abundant. So thank you for spending your scarce time listening to the Bitcoin Podcast. Until next time, stay free.